Romans chapter number one this morning. I want to go back there for our last time, Lord willing, for at least this current study that we've been doing on Sunday mornings. I know last Sunday morning we took a little break from Romans 1. We had some thoughts about not necessarily Father's Day, but the fatherhood of God. And we've been discussing here in Romans 1 what Paul writes here in verses 18 through 32. We've been talking about the problem, first of all, that America has, and not just America, any sinful society, but we've been focusing it in on America. Our first problem we talked about is the wrath of God being revealed from heaven, how it is a present reality. We can see it, aspects of it even now. But the answer to God's wrath revealed is God's righteousness revealed in the gospel. That was our first message. Second message, we talked about the problem that God has just reasons to show forth His wrath. In other words, God doesn't have to find an excuse to show His wrath. He has justified reasons for showing His wrath. We talked about how there Paul mentions it because man show Him no glory and they give Him no gratitude. They've changed His glory into something that is not glorious or something that is corruptible. And the answer to that problem is the riches of God's goodness that leads to repentance, as Paul mentions there in Romans chapter number 2. And today we're going to preach our third and final message from Romans 1. And here we're going to mention the results of God's wrath. And I want to look at this together, the results, the outcome of what it looks like as God's wrath is being revealed from heaven even now. Romans 1 verse number 24, if you're there, say amen. Bible says this, "Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." We'll stop right there this morning, end of chapter number one. Our third message, America, we have a problem. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We give you glory. I pray once again, Lord, we've seen in these verses here how your wrath is revealed from heaven, that you have every reason to show forth your wrath. But today we're going to see the outcome, some of the results of what Paul declares here through the inspiration of the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, if anything in these messages, let our hearts be burdened for the lost condition of mankind around us, Lord. Let us be moved to pray and to intercede for others, knowing this, Lord, that you are right and you are holy and your gospel is the answer. And I pray this morning, give that anointing that makes preaching easy and effective, and let all be done for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, as we look here this morning, our first point is about America's problem, the results of God's wrath. And as I come to this point this morning, there is a way I want to introduce this. What comes to your mind when I say the phrase, "and God gave up"? What comes to your mind when you think about that? I'm not here to necessarily elicit a bunch of responses, but I want you to think about that phrase. It seems like an impossibility because, after all, God never gives up, right? Well, according to Romans chapter number 1, Paul says three instances. He said, God gave them up. Well, not according to the Apostle Paul. Here are three different times in these verses that God gave them up or over unto something. Verse number 24, God also gave them up. Verse number 26, God gave them up. And then verse 28, God gave them over. These phrases tell us that there is a limit to the patience and the long-suffering of God. It reminds me of the words that God would say unto Noah there as he is talking about the wickedness of Noah's day, and he says these words, "My spirit will not always strive with men." There is an expiration date of mercy. And here in Romans chapter number 1, we are reminded of that three different times. Paul says, God gave them up. God gave them up. And then finally he says, God gave them over. When man chooses to abandon God, in turn, God will abandon mankind. And I can think of no worse place to be than in the abandonment of God. The picture here Paul paints is this picture that God twice is loosening his grip, and then finally the Bible says that he completely removes his hands altogether so that man could go his own way. Three things Paul says God abandons man to, and I want us to look at that. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but we are going to spend part of this message this morning looking at these three things. First of all, God gave them up to unclean immorality. Notice verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We said it already, but it bears to repeat. When man reject the light, there is no other alternative but darkness. Utter and complete darkness. When man turns and walks the other way, there is no other alternative than to walk in darkness. But there is no suitable substitute for the Creator and the sustainer of all things. Not only has man attempted to reject God, but in verse number 23, the Bible says that they've tried to change the glory of the uncorruptible God into a corruptible image. In other words, not only have they tried to reject God, they've tried to change God to be something else. We hear it in some of the modern day theologies, if you would, the views of God, that God can be however you want him to be. We're going to create a God after our likeness, and it's the hour in which we live. There is no suitable substitute for the Creator and the sustainer of all things. Wherefore, Paul declares, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Some translations render it in this way, Romans 1 and 24. Therefore, God delivered them over in the cravings of their hearts to sexual impurity. This is not a reason for God's wrath. This is the results of God's wrath. I began to look this week. I wondered. I said, some more modern statistics. I had some saved away, but I wanted some more modern statistics about the rate and the sexuality of America, even in the hour in which we live, because it is a sign. You put your finger on the sexual immorality of a nation, and it is the very heart and the pulse beat of the immorality of that nation. You can judge a nation's immorality by its standards concerning and surrounding sexual purity. Recent stats concerning sexual impurity in America are as follows, and I'll just read three different polls quickly, and they're not very long, but a 2019 poll from the CDC, the Centers for Disease and Control, states this, that 89% of women between the ages 15 and 49 admitted to engaging in premarital sex. 93% of men of the same age admitted to the same fact. between the ages of 15 and 49. That's the hour in which we live, right here in America. That was done in 2019. Another recent poll was conducted on men and women who were in what they referred to as committed relationships. Now, you have to understand something. Adultery has gone down in America. And there's a lot of people, oh, that's wonderful. Adultery is going down. I'll tell you why adultery is going down. Because people don't get married anymore. They just cohabit. They just start living together and enjoying all of the other functions of marriage without ever actually getting married. So rather than talking about adultery, I'll read some statistics about what they call infidelity in what they consider to be a committed relationship. 57% of men admitted to some form of infidelity. And 54% of the women that they polled admitted to infidelity. If you look at stats in America, adultery, as I said, is an all-time low, but simply because people don't get married. Pornography generates $12 to $14 billion in annual revenue in the United States. And in fact, there's been a spike in the consumption of pornography in this land since the pandemic hit. There are many scholars that are writing about this. Pornography has got on the rise because people are locked in their homes during the pandemic, and it has not gone backwards since then. It has only continued an upward spiral. There are lawmakers in certain U.S. states that are pushing to legalize prostitution, and they want to rename the term prostitute to sex worker because they want to remove the stigma off of such an what they call an occupation. They consider it a legitimate occupation, and we should remove the stigma off of it because that's how they make their money. Here in America, these are all things that were right here in the United States at this moment. When a society refuses to repent, sin takes over and draws people into a life where there is no sense of right and wrong. And that is exactly what we see in America right now. In response to the evil, impure, and impure desires of their hearts, the Bible says that God abandons them to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In other words, he gives them up to the lust of their flesh. That is why we see people that are not only allowing such things, but they are advocating all of these other forms of what they call alternative lifestyles. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about people living, and you got one man living with two women. And they're all in a relationship. That is things that's going on in our country right now. And they are not only allowing it, they are advocating it, saying, it does not matter if it feels good, do it. But when a society refuses to repent, sin takes over, and God abandons them to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That word dishonor means to disgrace or to shame. Can I tell you this morning, human sexuality is designed and governed by God. Thus, the only true expression for human sexuality is found in a monogamous heterosexual marriage, meaning between one man and one woman who have covenanted together in marriage. God does not recognize any sexuality outside of that union. And you know what? We have churches today that will allow people to get into leadership positions within their church, and they're living with somebody and they're not married. They'll do it. Churches. Oh, you know what? I read a recent poll that most Americans now feel like morality is not an issue when it comes, personal morality is not an issue when it comes to electing a public official. They feel like it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if they've had three wives or 30 wives. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they've had all these accusations and lawsuits against them. We're at an all-time high because people feel like that morality doesn't matter anymore. We can throw that out the window. That's part of some draconian age that has nothing to do with us. But let me tell you, although it may not have anything to do in American mindset, it has everything to do with the biblical mindset, because God doesn't recognize any union apart from the union that he sanctioned in the book of Genesis when he put Adam and Eve together, one man, one woman, joined together in the covenant of marriage. God understood that this gift of sex could be easily distorted. Oh, you know something? Any time that this gift is distorted, it leads to disgrace and shame. God has designed sex to be a gift that deepens intimacy, builds relationships, it is an expression of fidelity, comfort, and enjoyment. But when practiced outside the confines of marriage, sex is distorted into an expression of selfishness, betrayal, deception, and often manipulation. And it's what we see around us. God understood that this gift also has dangers of being improperly used. That is why God's word has clear instructions concerning the matters of sexuality. Paul then reminds us of why God has allowed such immorality, because they change the truth of God into a lie. The word to change means to exchange one thing for another, for a commodity to change hands. They exchange the truth of God revealed in Scripture for something that is untrue. This is the second exchange that Paul mentions in Romans 1. Just as the people exchange the glory of God for lackluster images, they also have traded truth for a lie. They call evil good and good evil. Can I say this real quick? Be careful what input you allow to form your opinions as a believer. Because I can tell you that secular culture wants to form opinions inside of your mind that go against the Scriptures. There was a time we didn't talk about it. We didn't go into a lot of detail about it. And we didn't go into a whole lot. We thought very lowly of people that entered into a relationship, a sexual relationship outside of marriage. But you know what Hollywood has done? They promoted it so long it seems almost completely normal. Now we have people within our own families and we feel like it's absolutely normal for them to do that. I'm not here to tell you that you ought to go chase them down and remind them that they're living in sin. But don't get comfortable with it. It should still cause some discomfort inside of us. And as the book of James says, we should hate even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Because these things that influence our mindsets, and we allow it to begin to change or sway our ideas about morality, and it will lead to wrong thinking. It'll cause us to not think according to the Scriptures. They got to move on. Be careful. TV, music, movies, much of media today normalizes sinful lifestyles, and we find ourselves constantly bombarded by attitudes and beliefs that are in total opposition to the Bible. The Bible is the only standard of truth, and there is no other. Not only is there these unclean desires, these unclean immorality, if you would, as Paul describes it, but then he goes on to talk about the second give up of God, the unnatural homosexuality. There have always been those willing to believe that human desires are self-regulating. In other words, they do not believe that any action they enjoy could possibly be wrong. If I enjoy it, it can't be wrong, is what they would say. They believe that people who would not really desire something unless it was good for them. Modern hedonism declares that if it feels good, then you do it. The more blatant examples of evil are considered exceptions rather than the rule. And when our wants become our ruler and our desires, our authority, we quickly become slaves to whatever appeals us next. This is what Paul writes. Paul now shares the second give up of God, Romans 1 and 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. He says that God abandoned them to vile affections. A.T. Robertson, the Greek scholar, he said this about these vile affections. He called it dishonoring passions is what it means here. This clearly is a reference to all forms of homosexuality. Because there have been some people that have said, well, if they're in a committed relationship, even if it's homosexual, that's not what Paul is writing about. Yes, he is. It is all forms of homosexuality. And there are two things that Paul states here I want to point out, and they're important for us to understand our modern day LGBT community. First of all, homosexuality is a choice, and Paul declares that here. Notice what he says. Verse 26, even their women did change. Notice that word change. Their natural use. That word change. Metalasso. It means to exchange something. It's the same word that was used in verse 23 of how man exchanged the glory of God
God for the glory of the uncorruptible, God for the corruptible man. It's used in verse 25 for exchanging the truth for a lie. And now he says they exchange that which is natural for the unnatural. It is a choice. Verse 27, Paul highlights the choice in this way. He says, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of a woman. This is a verb indicating a choice to forsake or to leave something behind. You know what? Many in our society once promoted the idea that homosexuality was a disorder, stating that men and women are born that way. Here in Romans chapter number 1, Paul refutes that head on. He said they were not born that way. He said they exchanged the natural use. They left behind. They forsook what God had given them for something that God had prohibited and said, do not do. So number 1, he says homosexuality is a choice. And for those that would say otherwise, the Bible clearly stands against it. Are we going to believe what people call science? Are we going to believe what this Bible says? Because there is not even hard scientific proof for them to say that they were made that way. They can't help that they're that way. It's a disorder. No, it is a choice to live in such a lifestyle. Second of all, homosexuality is unnatural. Their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. So in other words, not only are they in defiance of God's law, but they are in defiance of the laws of nature. It is not only a choice, it is unnatural. And they want you to feel like it's natural. They promote it in such a way so that you are looked at as the bad guy, as the one who has something wrong. If you look at a homosexual union and you say, no, that just can't be right. If something rises up in you and says, there's just no way that works. They say, oh, you're wrong. But rather, Paul declares here, it is unnatural for such a union. It is unnatural for such things to go on. It goes against what God has designed. Homosexuality is considered an acceptable practice by many in our world today, even by some churches, but society does not set the standard for God's law. Many homosexuals believe that their desires are normal and they have a right to express themselves. Can I tell you? The human body has a lot of desires attached to it. And you know what the Bible teaches us how to do? To regulate and to control them desires through the leading of the Spirit when we are born again. And can I tell you something? The same God who can take a drunkard and cause him to regulate and abstain from alcohol is the same God who can deliver a homosexual and cause them to abstain and leave behind that lifestyle. Because if I believe God can deliver a drug addict, I believe God can deliver any other form of sinner, I believe he can deliver a homosexual too, because it's a choice just like any other sin. And not only is it a choice, it is an unnatural choice. So therefore, God can reinforce the truth if we embrace it for what it is through the power of His Son. This verse teaches us the root of homosexuality is rejection of God. Once again, keep in mind, this is not a reason for God's wrath. It's a result of God's wrath already being poured out. That's what he's talking about here. It's one of the results. Homosexuality injures men's health, changes their dispositions, renders many of its practitioners, the men effeminate, the women masculine, debases their character. It brings horrible guilt. It produces a great mental strain. And America in particular is guilty as a nation of these same sins. And Paul says they receive in themselves the just penalty of their error. What was due unto them, they got the payment partially right now. The AIDS epidemic, the sexually transmitted diseases, the lifestyles of debauchery. They lead to such things so as they don't have to wait to receive their payment most of the time. They receive part of their payment even now. Disease, the highest rate of STDs still lies in the small population of homosexuals. And don't let them make you believe that they are the majority, because they are not. They've just got a loud voice and they're willing to use it. But yet, the majority of STDs comes from that community. Disease runs rampant amongst the community. Second of all, despair. Depression is at its highest rate among the LGBT community. You look at it. In comparison to a heterosexual individual, person who likes the opposite gender, It is staggering, the amount of not only depression rates in the LGBT community, but the suicide rates. They're astronomical. And not only that, the death rate brings death. Just like any other sin ultimately leads to death, this one, it just quickens and hastens the rate of death. I read about one San Francisco police officer, and he says there within the Castro community, right there within San Francisco, it's a known homosexual community. He said that he can go in there and he can tell most of the time just by looking at the crime scene at a homicide, whether it was a homosexual lover's quarrel or not, because he said it's some of the most violent crimes that he, as a homicide detective, has ever seen, because it leads and it hastens death, and because it is not only against the laws of God, but it's against the laws of nature, and it causes men and women to live in misery. That's why I look at people that practice such lifestyles, and I don't hate them. I don't look at them and, no, you know what I do? I pity them, because I say they're living in such a miserable lifestyle. They'll never admit it, many of them, but they're living miserable. One thing I want to say also, as we're here, in the 1970s, two New England gay professors that were professing gay men in the 1970s laid out their strategy for the gay rights movement. And it goes like this. First of all, we will get them to sympathize with us. We will share our story and present it as an alternative lifestyle and say that anybody who feels otherwise should feel sorry for us. First of all, we'll get them to sympathize. We'll get them to look at us and feel sorry for us. Second of all, we'll normalize it. They said quite literally in the quote that they will open up the curtain so people can see into their lifestyles and begin to think that homosexuality is a normal thing, and it is not something that is abstract and against the grain of culture, but it is something that has always gone on, and we should just feel like it's normal like everybody else. And then the final stage is we will demonize anyone who stands against us. And we will call for them to be canceled. We will call upon for society to take action against them, because we are like any other unprotected group. Just like someone whose race or religion may be discriminated against, we are the same way. And we're going to demonize anybody who stands in our way. Now you decide where we are right now in America. We're in the third one. They're demonizing people who stand against the natural law. Not only that stand for the natural law, excuse me, and declare that it is not only something that is a choice, but it is unnatural, and God will not have it. He'll not stand for it, just like he'll not stand for any other sin. We will normalize it. Then we'll demonize it. And we'll present it as something that you must believe this way, or if you don't believe this way, then you should feel ashamed of what you are doing. This has been the agenda for homosexuals. I'll tell you, it is the agenda right now of the transgender movement. Oh, yeah. First of all, we just got it out there in the open. And you know what? 10 years ago, if we had been talking about women playing or men playing in women's sports, we would have thought that was absurd. But today, it's becoming all the more normal. They're not just looking. The first step is not for you to embrace them. The first step is for you to just say, okay, well, it's normal. It happens all the time. And if they can gain that foothold, then the next foothold is we're going to demonize anybody who stands against it. And we're going to make them look like the bad guys. You know what? If we're just now getting on board with the gay rights movement, let me tell you, you're behind the eight ball, because now it's the transgender movement. And I'm going to tell you, before long, it's going to be the pedophilia. They're going to be promoting it like they do transgenderism. I'll stand behind this desk this morning and declare it, because I believe with all of my heart, that'll be the next thing that comes down the pike, because there is no bottom to depravity. When man walks down that road, there's no bottom to it. They continue the downward spiral. Third thing, the give up of God. Third thing, unrestrained, not only unnatural homosexuality, but unrestrained depravity. Look with me there. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And notice verse 29, and we're not going to read through that entire list there. You can read it in your own time, but being filled with all unrighteousness. And he goes through a list of things. I believe
forget, I think it's 28 different ones. You can read it and count it yourself. I can't remember exactly, but he goes to the list. He said, they're being filled with all of these things. Filled to the brim. It's the same word that Jesus used there in Acts whenever Luke is writing. He's getting ready to leave this world. He said, but you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the same idea. He says, here, men are not filled with God's Spirit. They are filled with all unrighteousness. They're filled to overflowing. It is unrestrained depravity. People do not turn away from God all at once. There is a progression to it. They may have started with some knowledge of God, but then they choose not to glorify Him or to thank Him. This leads to questions and doubts, and then it leads them to no longer recognize God as God. And then they finally like not to retain God in their knowledge. They try to delete God altogether. And when they choose to reject God, God allows them to do it. And the Bible says God gives them over to a reprobate mind. That word reprobate, it was used of coins. They had a very specific minting process. And they had, if I read it correctly, they had these trial processes in the mints there. And they would put these coins under the scrutiny to make sure this coins, not only were the metal was pure, but to make sure that the inscription on the coins was pure. And they would examine it very closely. They examined it one time, and it didn't pass the test. They'd send it back to the mint to be remade. If they examined it the second time, it would be considered a reprobate coin. Cast away, absolutely no good. They had a pile, and they would melt it back down. It was good for nothing. It had too much trash in it. It was too far marred. And you know what the Bible says? He said God gave them over to a reprobate mind. An unqualified mind. A mind that will not pass the test. Can I tell you, much of what we hear in our politics today is the mouth of a reprobate mind speaking. Much of what is being promoted today are things that are completely absent of God and His understanding. I can tell you, this is at work even in our hour. He said not only does He give them over to vile affections, but He finally gives them up unto a reprobate mind. Their minds become depraved and they lose the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. And He says they do those things which are not convenient or are more properly rendered, those things which ought not to be done. This indicates that people are doing things not just offensive to God, but offensive to human standards. Then Paul gives a list of sinful behavior and begins it by saying being filled. It's already said with all the fullness of it is what the idea is. Covetousness. That itch for more. They're whisperers. I like what Adam Clark said about it. Secret detractors. Those who under pretended secrecy carry about accusations against their neighbors, whether true or false, blasting their reputation by clandestine tittle-tattle, he said. Oh, we think about, homosexuality, that's the top right there, right? He talks about these ones that are whisperers. They're filled with it. It's a sign of the depravity of a culture when it's filled with backbiting and whispering. Envy. Proud. Calls them malignant. It's a disposition that makes the worst of everything. Backbiters. They practice open and unrestrained gossip. Without natural affection, he includes in this list. Lacking the ability to love those they should love. In the United States, one out of every two marriages ends in divorce. A large percentage of homicides in the country take place in families or with people that consider themselves lovers. He includes in this list implacable. It is the inability to get along with other people. It describes one who is not and cannot be appeased. I certainly didn't exhaust this list. There's a lot more we could talk about, but you get the point. The results of God's wrath is depravity that is manifested in every form of life, not just in sexual practices, but in the practices of speech, in the practices of thought, in the practices of desire. He said it's total depravity. It's wickedness on every level. That's the problem, but let's look, God's answer. The results of God's wrath is that He releases mankind to pursue the sins that they so enjoy. And yet, when they pursue them, they find that the more involved and entangled in sin they become, the further they are away from God. The results of God's wrath are a scary thing, but go with me, Romans chapter number 3. Paul closes his section about sinfulness of man in this way in Romans 3. We know these verses, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith that is in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The results of God's wrath are frightening. Oh, but thank God for the reaches of His grace. All have sinned. All at some point have rejected God. All have tasted of the death and the darkness that sin brings. He said, oh, but God's grace even reaches there. I say, Lord, I look around my society and I see the depths of depravity. But Lord, I am reminded here in Romans chapter number 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and Your grace can reach even there. Aren't you glad? I rejoice in that this morning, that the homosexual that's standing for an agenda that they think's going to better them, God's grace reaches even there. For the liar, for the cheater, for the adulterer, oh, for whatever form of sin we can name, God's grace reaches even there for the remission of all A-L-L sins. There's not one that He can't reach to. There's not one that His grace doesn't reach out to. I say, God, help us. God, help us. Those who embrace the grace of God find that He can save all that come to Him. In Christ, there is number one, the first thing Paul declares, justification. In other words, they are declared to be innocent. Second of all, redemption means to be purchased in full. Third, a propitiation, which means a sacrifice for sin. Fourth, righteousness, right standing with God. And fifth, a remission or a letting go or a passing over, a dismissal of sin. I believe these five things God's grace will provide to any man or woman who put their faith in His Son. I don't care what their past life looks like. I don't care how many of those things there in Romans chapter number 1 under the list of depraved acts that man can be a part of. I don't care how many they fall under. I believe the grace of God reaches even there. And if you don't believe the grace of God can reach there, can I encourage you this morning? Broaden your understanding of the reach of God's grace this morning and pray that God would do what we feel is impossible beyond our understanding and reach to those that we feel are beyond God's reach. My wife to make her way to the piano this morning. Today we see the results of God's wrath in our own culture. Mankind has rejected God. Thus, God has given them over, first of all, to unclean immorality. Number two, unnatural homosexuality. Number three, unrestrained depravity. But I would like to present an alternative reality. We read about there in Romans 1, 24 through 32, all of those things that God's given them up to, those who are in sin. But under grace, if we take this and we reverse it, I want to read it to you. In the alternate reality of grace, this is how this would read, Romans 1 and 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to self-control and purity, to honor their own bodies through obedience to Him. For they held to the truth and refused to exchange it for lies, and worshipped and served the Creator alone, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto pure and wholesome lives. For even their women honored God's design by subjecting to their own husbands. And likewise also the men, retaining the purpose of their helpmeet, honored their wives by loving sacrificially and receiving in themselves that reward that God had promised for their fidelity, and chose to acknowledge God in all things. God gave them over to a sound mind to do those things which please only Him, being filled with all righteousness, purity, goodness, contentment, kindness, full of selflessness, life, affirmation, honesty, gentleness, honest in speech, building up others, lovers of God, respectful, humble, self-abasing, inventors of good, obedient to parents, understanding, covenant keepers, full of love, tolerant, merciful, who knowing the commandment of God that they that practice such things shall possess eternal life, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do such things.
If we take Romans chapter 1 and we put it through the lens of grace, that's what it looks like. Because I believe the grace of God can reach even there. And it'll take people that were given over to impure lifestyles, unnatural lifestyles, and bring them in to know the reaches of His grace. Let's stand this morning. Small eyes playing. Is this not a picture of the reach of God's grace? He can take the awful list of attributes mentioned in Romans 1 and 24 through 32 and turn it into a miracle of mercy. Do you believe that? I believe that this morning. So as I've brought this final message to a close, we're going to preach out of this. This is what I want us to do. My wife's going to start singing in just a moment. And I want us to pray that God's grace, that we will be instruments so that God's grace can reach those around us. No matter where they are, no matter what they're a part of, let us be the instruments of grace. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank You for all that You've done. We praise You. Lord, we believe that Your grace can reach into the darkness. And we know when that light shines, the darkness can't comprehend it. And I pray this morning, Lord, that those who may have been a part of unclean relationships, those who have been a part of the unnatural, unrestrained lives, Lord, that, Lord, by Your grace, that You'd reach even there. Lord, we got family members involved in lifestyles such as this. And we ask, Lord, that Your grace would reach down to where they are. Deliver by the power of Your grace. Oh, You offer justification. You offer propitiation. You offer salvation, Lord. You offer the remission of sins. Lord, You offer the ability at another chance. I pray, God, let Your grace reach even there. Oh, there is no distance. Oh, no. Oh, do we really believe the grace of God can reach into the darkness? I believe it this morning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Instrument of grace to reach into the lives of those who are hurting, those who are sinful, Lord. You said some having compassion making a difference. Oh, yes, God. Let our hearts cry out. Be that which You have us to do. Oh, yes. Yes, God. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We praise You. Oh, yes, God. Help us. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All the riches of His goodness, all the reaches of His grace, reaching to those that we don't have the ability to reach in and of ourselves. But how many know God's grace can overcome the barriers? Can overcome the stigmas? And all that all may be made one in Christ. That's the beauty of it. I love there as Paul is writing there to the church in Corinth, and he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he goes through the list. Distortioners, abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuality. He goes through a long list. And then at the end of it, he said, "And such were some of you, but ye have been justified." You have been sanctified. You've been cleansed. Oh, yes. I look at them and say, such were some of us. Maybe not as far, but we were still sinners. But the grace of God reached out to us. And I believe He loves them as much as He loves me and you. He loves them. And Lord, let us pray that we may be instruments of Your grace and see those who have not yet seen. Let them see the light of God's glory. I believe we want that this day. Lord, let us see it by Your grace. Appreciate every one of you this morning. I love you. May God bless each of you. Be with you today. Bring you back tonight if you're able. Looking forward to what the Lord has in store. God bless you all. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.